Hi, and welcome to Let Spirit Lead. I'm Cissy Williams, and in this episode, you'll meet the amazing Pam Grout, who is a New York Times bestselling author of the books Thank and Grow Rich, Eat Squared, and Eat Cubed. In this interview, she talks about her latest book, The Course in Miracles Experiment, and how the mystical teachings from A Course in Miracles helped her find peace even in the midst of the most unimaginable grief. I was really touched by Pam's strength, courage, and light, all mixed in with a wonderful sense of humor, and I hope you find her wisdom as uplifting as I do. So let's head over to this interview now. Hi, Pam. Thank you for connecting with me today and for being on the podcast. I love talking about your new book, which is called A Course in Miracles Experiment. First of all, what inspired you to write this book?
Well, you know, it's funny because I didn't set out to write this rewrite of A Course in Miracles workbook, but what happened is on January 1st of 2018, I've had a blog for a long time. Ever since, you know, E-Squared came out, I've been blogging. There's probably, 600-700 blog posts that I put up on my site. But so anyway, I decided 2018 I was going to, because I've been doing The Course in Miracles for a really long time, and a lot of people do feel that it's kind of dense and sort of hard to understand. But I was just writing about my own journey with Course in Miracles. I was just literally saying, okay, here's today's lessons, and here's kind of what it means to me. And then the most miraculous thing started happening. People started posting on my site, or they started sending me emails. You need to turn this into a book. And after you hear this, you know, 50, 60 times, you start thinking, you know, I guess I should turn this into a book. So anyway, I put together a proposal and sent it off to my publisher of the last five books before this, or was it four? But anyway, Hay House. So I sent it off, and yeah, they turned around and said, yeah, we'd love it. So that's how the book came about. And I think that's really how miracles are meant to happen. You know, there's all of us are given assignments, so to speak, by the universe. And I always, you know, think I wish God worked more in neon. You know, like I want those real clear guidance. But to me, this was like real clear guidance that this was my task to do.
How did you first come in contact with the course? Because most of us that are students of the course, we have kind of God brought us to that place. So what happened for you that brought you to that place where you were receptive to actually start reading the course and take on board the wisdom there?
Well, I read a book called Love is Letting Go of Fear, and it came out a long time ago. It was by Gerald Jampolsky.
Yes, one of my favorite books.
Oh, yeah, no, it's a great book. And so I read that, and it's like, wow, this is really interesting. So I got The Course in Miracles, and I didn't know that I totally understood it, but I just felt like it was something really important. It almost had this special vibration about it or something. So I would go through it not really understanding it, but anytime there was an opportunity, like I went to Esalen, you know, out in Big Sur, California. I did a month-long program out there. And, you know, you have several options on what course to take, and I took A Course in Miracles. So I went and did that for a month. And then I just, you know, whatever something would hear about The Course in Miracles, it would prick up. But I think when I started taking it really seriously was when I was pregnant with my daughter. I was 7 months pregnant, actually driving across the country, not knowing where I was going to go. And I thought, you know, I need to start taking this seriously, you know, to really practice what it says. So I would say that when I started really following it in earnest, and even though I'd been kind of half-heartedly doing it for a long time, would have been, you know, about 26 years ago when I was driving across the country pregnant with my daughter.
Do you remember what the biggest shift for you was when you started to take it, you know, really seriously?
Well, I mean, The Course in Miracles has the nerve to suggest that it's actually me that's creating this reality out there. So that's always kind of, you know, in a front, just like, no. I mean, I think sometimes we want to be victims. You know, I think in life, like, oh, this happened to me and poor me, poor me. So I think for me, it's like I really began to recognize that, wait, maybe I have some say in this. And maybe by changing my focus, by seeing this bigger truth, you know, life could shift for me. And it was very clear from what was showing up in my life that I needed a change of perception. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I think that's what finally gets everybody to take it seriously. It's when they have that there's got to be a better way. In fact, yeah, that's how the course was written. When Bill Thetford, you know, all the fighting at Columbia University, and they were just miserable, and he just said, there's got to be a better way. And I think for so many of us, that's what, when we finally just surrender and say, you know, there's got to be a better way than this. And I think that's what happened for me.
Absolutely. So How would you say that the course has helped you personally the most?
Well, again, I think it's just totally changed my perception about the world. And I think the thing that I hope more than anything that people get out of my book is just how much guidance is available to us. Because I think we tend to think, oh, we're living life all by ourselves and, you know, it's kind of scary. But when you really recognize how much guidance is there and how much the universe or God or whatever you want to call it wants to work with you. So I think for me, if people can really get it, you know, it's almost like it doesn't even matter what path takes you there. But if you can somehow hook up to this bigger force, then your entire life will change because this force wants to work with all of us, wants to bless all of us, wants to love all of us, wants to heal all of us. So I think just being willing to open up to that. So I think for me, that's probably been the biggest shift in my life is recognizing that there is a bigger thing going on here.
Mm, absolutely. Now, the course talks about the ego. So what's your take on the ego and how can we, because this is one of the most common questions I get is people asking, so how do I know when it's my ego and how do I know if it's spirit's voice speaking to me? So what's your advice here?
Well, you know, I think that it's sort of a feeling. You can almost tell, like, if it feels really good, like, wow, that makes a lot of sense. That feels like the right thing. And I think we tend not to, you know, our ego is going to tell us every trick in the book, like, oh, you don't want to do that, or you should be afraid. And I guess if it sort of leads us to being more afraid or leads us to pulling back and, again, leads us to not feeling good. And anytime we're living in fear, we don't really feel good. So I think that if you start paying attention to how it feels, the message that you're getting, because, you know, the ego all the time will tell us, well, you're not good enough to do that. And like, oh, you can't go there. You can't do this. The world's scary. You need to protect yourself. Those are always, that's always the ego talking. But when it feels really good and it feels from a loving place, that's spirit talking. So I think as we become more and more able to listen and kind of recognize how it feels within our body, then, of course, we aren't really bodies. Of course, the Course in Miracles says that. But at this point, we're still living in our bodies, so we can use it as a tool, you know, for our growth. So that, to me, is just that feeling that you have. Does it feel good? Does it feel good? And if it does, then it's probably leading you towards closer to the spiritual side of things, to God.
I actually love what the Course is saying about the body because I know that many students of the course, they get a bit trapped in the idea that we're not a body, we're not a body, but we still live in a body. We're still here in our physical reality. And when you go a bit deeper into the teachings, you see that the course is saying that the body is a learning device. It's meant to help us awaken, to kind of show us when we are going out of alignment, which is what I love with Esther Hicks, for example. She's saying exactly the same. And then, of course, if you don't tune into your body, you'll notice in your feelings how you're feeling, exactly like you're saying. So you can sense from that feedback if you are listening to ego or spirit, for example. So I think the body is important as a tool for us.
Yeah, and I think the more we start listening to that and following that, we realize how powerful it is. I mean, I think sometimes we're loath to do that, but I think once we do, we realize, wow, this really is right on. And so I think then we gain, I don't know, confidence in our abilities to really discern between what is the ego telling us this and what is spirit telling us this. So I think as we have more and more success with it, so to speak, wow, that really did work out well, or that really did lead me to this person or lead me to that, then we become like, wow, I think I'll listen to this voice a little bit more often.
Absolutely. So when we then have something that happens in our lives or we notice that we are stuck in a negative thought pattern, for example, then what can we do to shift that, to heal that, to shift our perception? What's your advice here?
Well, one of the things I love about the course, I mean, it is a really huge, dense book, but to me, it really does make it really simple. Anytime, you know, you set an intention for the day, you know, I want to have, even what the course says, a perfect day. And then when you start feeling like, oh, you know, you're feeling off, you're feeling, you simply say, and it's this simple, you say, Holy Spirit, help me see this differently. I mean, I probably say that 100 times a day, help me see this differently. Because the only thing that could ever be wrong is our perception of something. So as long as we stay in that perception, we will continue that experience. So by simply asking, like surrendering and saying, you know what, this isn't feeling good, I'm scared, I mean, I'm mad at this person, you know, it just doesn't feel good, help me see it differently. Once we learn to see things differently, everything changes.
Mm. If someone is new to this, and you can try that sentence and it will make a shift in you the moment you say it. And that's how you
exactly.
know, that's how you know that it works.
Right. And that's what's so cool about it. This spirit, this whatever you want to call it, it is always there 24/7. I mean, how many of us want a friend 24/7, or we want this? I mean, just to really get how much we are loved and how available this guidance is, it's just a revolutionary thought. And then once you realize, wow, anytime I can call on this, and this thing is waiting, it's almost like in the book, I kind of joke around. You know, that movie Arthur, where, you know, all I had to do is ring his little bell and then the butler would show up. It's like, to me, the Holy Spirit's like this butler just waiting for our call, waiting for us to ring the bell. And it's literally, Hobson is what it was called in that movie Arthur. It's like, yes, we've each got our personal Hobson, so to speak, that is waiting to help us, that is waiting for us to get it, because it doesn't even see our dysfunction. That's just a product of our ego and us believing in that kind of a thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Another thing which I love with the Course is, because I like to be hands-on. So if I'm stuck in a thought pattern or an emotion, I really like this hands-on thing of handing it over. And I literally feel myself doing it. So I just hand it over. And as I do that kind of action of handing it over, I can feel it lift.
Right. It's a sense of relief. It's like, yeah, okay, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to let somebody else take it over. And it's just everything. It just makes life so much easier.
Yeah, absolutely. So then the Course talks about that we have this inner teacher that can then guide our thoughts from fear to love, from doubt to trust.
One of the things, how I interpret the Course, is to start off your day, you know, get your day going in the direction you want it to, get the momentum going. So I always try to start in the beginning of the morning, because that, you know, before my little pea brain, my little ego's gotten, oh, start telling me this is wrong and this needs to be done. You know what I mean? So if you start mm-hmm. out with the momentum of, you know, Holy Spirit, this is your day. You decide for me. In fact, one of my favorite lessons in Course in Miracles, it says, I need do nothing. So the less I do, the better my life is. So I like to start off from the very beginning. And then, you know, maybe 3 or 4 hours down the road, you know, oh, you've gotten off track or whatever. But that's when you turn around and go, Holy Spirit, help me see this differently. Because as long as I'm seeing through Holy Spirit's eyes or God's eyes or whatever you want to call it. I mean, I'm real big. I don't know if you've seen my book, but I don't necessarily call it God. Or I think the terminology, God doesn't care what we call it.
Exactly.
I mean, I think of it as it. It's a power, this force. I mean, in my books that were popular, I called it the field of infinite potentiality. But that is the truth of what's out there. So the less we do, the more we're guided and connected to this bigger thing, because there is all this joy and love and peace that's out there, but we're not seeing it because we're choosing to live in the material world and not this connection that we all have. Every last one of us has to this bigger thing. So if we start the day off, and I think that's just so important, is starting the day off with at least with the right intention and the right, and then it just makes it a little bit easier. Because if we wait until like halfway down there, like, oh, I forgot, oh, I'm in, and then, you know, you have to get off of it, and getting off of it isn't always easy when you've really gotten into it. So if you start off on the right note, on the right foot, that just makes everything a lot easier.
Mm. What's your own favorite lessons from the Course?
Well, I love God is but love, and therefore so am I. God is but love. Or so you don't even use the word God, but that's what the Course in Miracles says. But love is who I am. Mm-hmm. That is who I really am. So I'm either recognizing who I really am, I'm depending on this force that's really who I am, this love force, or I'm depending on my own resources, and that's where I somehow got off track. So I love that God is but love, and therefore so am I. And I also love, I am not a body, I am free, because, and that one's kind of weird, like, what do you mean I'm not a body? Well, we do have bodies, and we're using them, as you said, as you wisely pointed out, as a tool, but that's not our true identity. So mm-hmm. it's almost like, you know, I prefer to focus on my true identity, which is love, which is, you know, God. So, yeah.
Mm. What other main lessons have really made an impact for you?
Well, gosh, there's so many. Let's see. I mean, lately, the one I'm not a body, I'm free has been very powerful because I don't know if you've heard my daughter passed 12 months or 14 months ago now. And,
so
you know, that's kind of a painful life experience or could be interpreted that way. So I am really focusing on not my body. I mean, I'm still connected to my daughter in a bigger way. I'm still, so I'm really motivated to be connected, you know, to focus on that part of myself as opposed to focusing on, you know, the physical part of myself. And that's where all the joy and peace comes from is, you know, the bigger, you know, the focus of the bigger thing. So I think that's really been an important lesson for me over the last 14 months. And there's all kinds of messages like, I cannot suffer, I cannot die, that all of us are going to get it. And I love this idea that at the same time we are aware of what's going on in the physical world, there's this other beautiful, loving story going on. So at all times, we're animating into our life experience what we're putting our attention upon. So we can put our attention upon the love and on the bigger reality, or we can put our attention on our stubbed toe or, you know, whatever, you know, physical issue it does seem like we're experiencing right now. So I really do love that I have the control over where I put my attention. But I just love the idea that there is something bigger going on at all times and that, you know, that's where I want to put my attention.
I love what you're saying because it's what the Course is teaching, that yes, you're not a body. You are a spirit, so you are free. And in that level of reality, you are eternal. And in that level of reality, you and your daughter are forever connected because we're all one. So we're forever held in the mind of God in that
right.
reality. And when we connect with that, so we choose to see the light, we choose to see the blessings, we choose to see the love, then we connect with that reality where we are all one. And then therefore we open the door to all the miracles and all the blessings and all of that we are also longing for. And the more we choose to focus on that, the more we call forth the witnesses of that. Whilst when we see through our physical eyes, so we see through the eyes of the ego, so we see through eyes of fear, then we will also send forth, you know, the scavenger dogs, as the Course calls it, for bringing back proof to us for why we are right with that too. So we do get back to us that which we send forth through whatever we choose to focus on. And as you said, if you start then your day with making sure you actually switch on your spiritual eyes, so you're in tune with that, then your day will go so much more smoothly.
Right. And as you start doing it and you kind of reflect before you go to sleep, it's like, wow, I had such a great day today.
Yeah.
You know, and then it just kind of reinforces this idea of why this is a good thing to do. And in fact, one of the things the Course says, and people just think this is so radical, perfect peace is my inheritance. Not peace during the week or on the weekends. Perfect peace, perfect joy, that is what we are entitled to. And that's such a radical concept. Perfect, that's 100% all the time. But most of us think, oh, well, yeah, I'll be happy on my birthday, or I'll be happy on the weekend, or I'll be happy here. No, we are promised perfect peace all the time. And that's radical. I mean, the Course is completely radical, which is part of the reason I love it.
It certainly doesn't hold back any punches. I love that. It's like it's so in your face. This is what it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, I'd just like to backtrack to something that you were saying. I lost my mom around the same time as you lost your daughter. So I cannot imagine actually what you must have felt like losing your daughter, because it was hard enough losing my mom. And I had to witness within myself still being able to be connected with spirit and also allowing my human self to move through all those layers of grief so I wouldn't spiritually bypass my grief. So how were you able to do that for you?
Well, no, that's such a good point. I think that happens a lot. So you can't really deny what you're feeling. I mean, and as you pointed out, the physical part of ourselves is an important part of ourselves in this particular incarnation or in this particular lifetime. So you do have to deal with that. In fact, I think if you deal with it, then it doesn't fester and then it's easier to, you know, to move beyond to where you're back to where, you know, to getting spirit's power. So no, I have spent, you know, plenty of time grieving and it still comes up for me, the grief. In fact, I think the way it is with losing a child, it's you learn to carry it. You know, you don't really get over it. I mean, not in this physical plane exactly, but you learn how to carry it. And I think for me, I sort of see it as it was like the ultimate crucifixion for me. I mean, I can't think of anything. I mean, according to the world's definition, very few things would be worse than losing a child. I mean, that is one of the ultimate things. You know, I always say, oh, I'd have rather lost my legs or my arms or me. I mean, anything, anything other than. But if indeed, I mean, and that's what they say the crucifixion of Christ was in a symbolic term. But I mean, what could be worse than getting hung on a cross and spit at and all the things that he went through? Yet he was able to maintain his equanimity even under those circumstances. And I'm not saying that it's been easy, but that maybe there's a reason for this, and maybe me staying in touch with Taz is part of my purpose. And, you know, proving that I'm not a body and that I'm not just limited to what it is in the physical thing. But when I deal with the physical part, yes, there's great grief, a lot of crying, a lot of tears. And I'm proud for that. I mean, to me, that shows how much I loved her and how connected I was. So, no, I haven't. I mean, I'm sure there's times I might spiritual bypass, but I didn't even try to do that. In fact, this is a true confession here. I kind of quit doing the Course in Miracles for a while. But, you know, that, again, if you go back to how you feel, that didn't feel right. You know, I guess you could say I was a little bit mad and like, how dare this happen to me? I mean, look, I've been practicing this forever. I'm the person that used to blog, why I'm the luckiest person on the planet, episode one, episode two, episode three, you know, this perfect joy. So it was definitely a rip in my understanding of the universe. But as I, you know, turn again these feelings of grief and the feelings of loss over to the Holy Spirit, help me see this differently. And how I'm learning to see it differently is that it's only a story that Taz is even gone. That's only a story. That's only a perception. It's not even true.
Yeah.
So, you know, it really gives me the ultimate opportunity to change my perception. And that is exactly, you know, what I've been called to do. And I'm sure on some level, I probably agreed to do that. And Taz agreed to do that. And, you know, so anyway, that's kind of, you know, again, I think about this a lot. It's definitely been in my face over the last 14 months. So
I can see that and I can feel that. And I think that is an incredibly powerful teaching, because you would have gone through what would be everyone's worst nightmare. And then moving through the griefs. And I think it's human and normal to get really, you know, miffed with,
right.
I've been doing
yeah.
all this stuff and still this is happening. And I think that's a natural response. And that's the human you being allowed to also have a say. And then when you then went back to connecting with the Holy Spirit, you were moving through your own crucifixion into the resurrection, where you're being reborn into the holy instant where she already is in that eternal moment. So you're living that teaching that the whole course is based upon.
Right. And on some level, I must have agreed to do that.
Yeah. I don't think it's a coincidence that your book is coming out now.
Yeah, no, it is pretty interesting. I mean, I don't know if you heard the story, like, okay, when I first was pregnant with Taz, it came as a complete shock to me. I'll go ahead and share the story. I had just finished a rebirthing program. I was out in Connecticut, and this friend of mine was going to see a psychic. So, you know, I go just because my friend was going. It wasn't like I'm a big believer in psychics, although it's interesting and fun. So I went kind of as a lark. But, you know, the psychic goes around and tells each of us, you know, what their next purpose in life was. And she goes, well, this is interesting. You know, here I am, 37, single. She goes, your next purpose in life is motherhood. So I walk out of there and I said to my friend, I go, that psychic was full of baloney. But within like a month or so, I was indeed pregnant. It indeed was my next path in life. But the other thing that psychic did say was that my daughter was going to be a great spiritual leader. And so a great spiritual teacher. And so she certainly has been a great spiritual teacher to me. And even now, there are so many people that feel connected to her. Like, we had this thing about 222, and I see 222 everywhere. People, my readers, send me pictures of 222. I started a foundation in her honor called the 222 Foundation. So there's all these people around the globe, you know, my readers that have been very connected to this story and that are also somehow involved in this teaching of Taz is this togetherness, this 222 thing, and this, you know, the changing of the consciousness. So the mission of the 222 Foundation that I started was to change the consciousness of the world. So we give grants, money, whatever, not grants, it's money, it's a gift, to someone who is working to change the consciousness of the planet. Because until the consciousness of the planet is changed, we're going to be living the same old, same old. I mean, it's the consciousness that has to be changed.
Absolutely.
And it's also this consciousness of scarcity that so many people believe in, you know, this problem state, you know, that everybody lives in. We have to change the consciousness. So Taz, I feel like, is working through me to change the consciousness of the planet, you know, and I, my part is to stay as open and available for this, for, you know, whatever my role in this is.
Such a light coming through the whole way that you've embraced that. That is incredible. And I do feel that will give other people hope and guidance to recognize I can do this too. You know, I can also rise through whatever challenge I'm encountering. I can let myself move through that crucifixion to resurrection so I can be reborn into a more expanded version of me than I was before this experience, because it's an expanded consciousness, you know. It is amazing. It is amazing. So if someone now picks up your book, and there will be many that will, and it's very different from A Course in Miracles, you know, the normal writing from it, which is the beauty with it, because you have such a funny style of writing. I love it. So what would you recommend that they do? How could they best use the book?
Well, first of all, a lot of people already have the book, right? I mean, you ask at any spiritual gathering, how many people have a copy of The Course in Miracles? And, you know, 95% of the people will have a copy, because we've all heard what a great spiritual resource this is. But then you ask the second question, it's like, how many have actually read it? And, you know, almost all hands go down.
Yeah.
So, I think a lot of people that pick up this book will already have A Course in Miracles. So maybe from, you know, my take on it, my somewhat cheeky take on it, they will be inspired to open the real book, or they may just use my book. You know, I'm not in charge of that. I was just in charge of doing my part, which was to, you know, write what I did. I mean, again, I felt like I was guided to do that, so I did do that. And then what becomes of it is really kind of out of my hands. But I think my highest hope would be that each person, because really, it doesn't even matter if you do The Course in Miracles, if you do, you know, Buddhism, no matter what you do, the whole goal, and we're all going to get there eventually, is to be connected to that truer self, that truer love of who we really are. So I guess, and to be connected to that guidance that we all have, like what the Course calls the Holy Spirit, or what, you know, an artist might call the muses, this thing that's bigger than them that's wanting to guide all of us. So my hope is that whether they use my book, whether they use the original book, whether they use any tool that's available to them, that they will get connected to that. So they don't even need this extra. So I think a lot of us think, oh, we need this, or I need, you know, so-and-so to help me, or I need this to help me. No, it's, we all have access to it. So I hope that's what people would get out of the book.
Yeah.
You know, to recognize their own role to play in this healing of the planet, you know, God's little plan here on Earth that we're all involved in.
Yeah. That we all find our place that we're meant to take, and by following that inner guidance, yeah. Thank you. It's been amazing connecting with you.
If you'd like to find out more about Pam Grout, then visit pamgrout.com. And you can find her latest book, The Course in Miracles Experiment, in all well-stocked bookstores. And if you'd like to read an article based on this interview, then visit inspiredwellbeing.community, where you find tons of interviews with leading spiritual teachers and well-being experts such as Greg Braden, Neil Donna Walsh, Bruce Lipton, Denise Lynn, Tosha Silver, Alan Cohen, Marianne Williamson, and many others. You'll also find a particular section on the mystical teachings from A Course in Miracles. Just visit inspiredwellbeing.community. Sending you lots of love until our next week's episode. Bye-bye, everyone. Bye-bye.